evening. Welcome to Voice of the Parrot. I'm your host, Shasta Ray, and I am alone in the studio again. The giant dog was down here for a little bit, but he went upstairs. I gave him a chew bone, and I think it made him thirsty. He needed a drink. So he's hanging out on his dog bed upstairs. I guess he didn't want to come back down, which is okay. He tends to snore really loudly when he comes down here, so I don't mind the unnecessary editing on the final cut of this episode. So anyway, oh my gosh, I had the best trip to go see Mile High Parrot Supply this weekend. I mentioned that last week, and Murray, the baby cockatiel, who's not so much of a baby anymore, he had the time of his life. I think this was the third time I've taken him up there to visit, and this time was a major turning point. He's always done really, really well, but this time he seemed very excited to go into his carrier. He seemed very excited to be there, and he even did some showing off and talking and a little bit of singing for them. So that was really, really cool. I also took Bug along, and he was super chill, and he just hung out and made everyone happy with his little cuteness. He is so poofy and adorable, and he's just so accepting of everybody that he was just a joy to take along. So it was a wonderful, wonderful day. And picked up a toy order, picked up a big bag of birdseed and some other treats for them, and I am ready to go. Oh my goodness. If you're out there in the United States and you have not checked out their website yet, milehighparrotsupply.com. And use promo code VOICE20, that's VOICE20, that will get you 20% off of your order, not including live birds. So anyway, if you would like a little bit of a discount off your order, there you go. Mile High Parrot Supply is a husband-wife team, Chris and Kendra, and their son helps out too. And between the three of them, they have a combined experience of going on almost 40 years, I think we did the math. So they're very knowledgeable, and they always want the best for the birds they sell. They want the best for their customers, and they have been amazing at answering all my questions that I have about Murray and all of his crazy antics over this past year that I've had Murray. And today was no exception. I actually emailed Chris, and I was like, I think Murray's lost his mind again. We'll get into that in a minute. Murray has inspired me for today's episode because I think it applies to a lot of people out there. Anyway, one thing we did talk about was some diet stuff and how hard it is to convert birds to a healthy diet once they are used to a seed diet and a quote-unquote junk food diet. You don't want to feed them an all-seed diet no matter what your bird is. It's too high in fat, and I don't care how much they flap around your house, it is not the equivalent of what they would get for exercise out in the wild. So they don't burn off calories the same, and it sets them up for fatty liver disease, and you just don't want that. So anyway, we talked about bird nutrition and what's better for birds and what's worse for birds, and we had some laughs over that. It was a fun time. And that is going to inspire next week's episode. I'm doing some book reviews on really, really, really good and very, very, very affordable bird nutrition books. So you don't want to miss that. I've got some really great recommendations. So we'll hit nutrition next week. One really cool thing that happened while I was there is they have a Cape parrot, and those parrots have this big, huge, intimidating beak. They're an African parrot and really unique looking. They can also make some really cool sounds and stuff too. But anyway, I have never interacted with that bird, but he seemed to kind of recognize me this time because I always talk to him when I'm there and I always kind of chit-chat at him and throw some positive energy his way. And he seemed to kind of be okay with me this time, and he gave an indicator of such, and he stepped up for me. So I got to actually hold a Cape parrot. It was really cool. He is such a cute bird. Oh my gosh. I don't know that I'll ever own a Cape parrot, but they are a really cool looking bird. I was really thrilled to be able to do that. So if you are around other people's parrots, I don't care how tempting it is, always ask. And a lot of birds out there are single person birds. They get very bonded with one person, and they're not very accepting of strangers. So you could get yourself bit pretty easily if you just go reach for a bird that doesn't know you. But I thought it was really cool that that one just seemed to be real chill with me this time. He seemed to remember me. Birds are highly, highly intelligent, and they're very, very complex animals. Do not underestimate how amazing they are. So always make sure that you keep their intelligence levels in mind, because sometimes that's going to also play into aggression and stuff. If they get really bored and you're not keeping them mentally stimulated enough, you're going to get some behavior problems. So that's my whole point of saying that, is just how intelligent they are. And they have the capacity to remember for quite a long time. So all of their birds are really well behaved and seem very enriched and get lots of toys and lots of attention. And that's really cool to see. I love seeing breeders out there that are just doing it right. And they just want what's best for the birds and the people that adopt them. So right on for Mile High Parrot Supply for doing it right. And with that said, let's get into this week's episode. Spring is trying to spring into action. You may be seeing some really weird and unusual behaviors out of your birds. That's because this is mating season, and hormones are going to be crazy and all over the place. So speaking of bird breeders and people that own birds and birds that are going through hormonal changes this time of year, let's talk about being a little bit responsible and doing what's right for your bird when it comes to hormones. So if you've got a seasonal bird like this, or I've got the cockatiel, which they seem to go into hormonal overdrive this time of year, they'll produce babies all year long, but it seems like spring really triggers that. And also, that said, I have been in a number of different bird groups, kind of surfing around and just seeing posts and stuff. And there are a lot of people out there that just don't seem to know what's going on with this whole topic. So if you've got a bird, I really want to encourage you to not produce baby birds. If you don't know what you're doing, you've never done this before, you don't have any education on this, you can get yourself into some problematic situations. And if you ask me, it is a lot better to just kind of learn how to navigate this. Please do not feel obligated to produce baby birds. Leave that to the experienced breeders. And then when it comes to these little birds that breed really quickly and readily, like cockatiels and budgies in particular, if you got your bird at a pet store, you do not know what its genetics are. You do not know if it was raised responsibly or not. If you picked out two birds at the pet store, you don't even know if they're related or not. They're not going to tell you. So you don't want to get into genetic problems by inbreeding them and that sort of thing. I always encourage people with budgies, you do not have to get a male-female pair. You will do just fine by getting two males or two females. But if you do get two females or a male and a female, please consider getting separate cages for them. Female budgies, even though they're cute and they're little and they're tiny little birds, they can be very, very, very brutal when it comes to their space. So if you want to avoid babies happening, it's actually best let the females have their own cage and their own space. This is being responsible. And remind yourself that us humans are the ones that put emotional value on our reproductive organs. For the birds or any other animal, this is an instinct that they go through, and it is not an emotional need. They are not going to feel emotionally incomplete if they're not allowed to make babies. And a lot of people lose sight of that. Us humans go through, we want to reproduce, we want children, we want the experience of raising children. We want our parents to have grandchildren and all the good things that come with having babies, right? But birds don't view things this way. For them, it is an automatic response. It is something that they do to perpetuate the species. We don't need to do this when they're in captivity. So I've been seeing a lot of people making some mistakes online. I just want to go over a few things for anyone that's just unaware of this. First off, birds really like to go into a small enclosed area or a nesting box to do their thing and reproduce. Do not supply a nesting box. It is not necessary. It will trigger their hormones. It will make them reproduce. And then it seems like people are running into a lot of problems, especially if they really don't know what they're doing. And one of those problems is the parent bird can start plucking the baby or even killing them. One person posted recently that they just didn't know why. They kept letting their birds breed and breed and breed and lay eggs and lay eggs and lay eggs. And the babies would get to a certain point and then the parents were just killing them violently. So this is really irresponsible behavior. First off, you're not really understanding how it works, especially with budgies. They will keep laying eggs until they reach a certain number of eggs. They will raise that clutch and then they want the babies gone so they can produce some more. The more you have that nest box in there, the more it's going to signal them to just keep reproducing. And the more you keep the male and female in together, they will just keep reproducing. So one thing is keep them separate and let them play together in a common area during the day. So what I do with my birds is each one has its own cage. They all have their own personal space and they go into their cages at night. And then during the day, they are out. They have a common area. I've got a play gym. They play in and out of each other's cages all day, and there is one central area where I put food and water, and they all kind of feed there. And then I change things up. Other things that are going to trigger your bird to want to reproduce is petting them inappropriately. So just remember, they are not a cat, they are not a dog, and you cannot pet them like you would pet a cat or a dog. Their reproductive organs are really close to their backs. So when you pet them down the length of their back, you're actually stimulating them in a sexual manner and it will frustrate them. Remember, these are wild animals that we keep in our homes. They are captive bred and captive raised. It does not mean they're domesticated and it does not mean they are exempt from certain things going on. And a lot of people are just unaware of this. So if you're going to pet your bird, keep it on its neck and head and feet only. Those are the only places you should be touching your bird at all. And there are some exceptions if you have to do an exam on your bird. It has a spot on its wing or something you need to look at. That's a little bit different. When it comes to your regular physical interaction with them, just keep it at neck scritches and keep it at head scritches. You can pet their beak if it allows you to, and their feet. Budgies are not going to let you touch them like that. They're just kind of a hands-off bird. They'll perch on your finger. They'll talk to you. They like attention, but they don't like to be touched. So also just respect your bird's need for that kind of boundary. It's not about what we want. It's about what's best for the bird. Another thing you don't want to do is have a mirror or a reflective surface because they can trigger on that. They'll think it's a mate. When they show attention to that mirror, the bird in the reflection is giving them attention back. They get that kind of garbled in their head. They don't understand that it's a reflection and not a real bird. So that can trigger some hormonal behavior. And another thing is how much daylight they get every day. You want to keep their cage covered about 12 hours and let them have about 12 hours of light. That signals longer days and not breeding season. So try to keep them hormonally low. You don't want them all charged up and have these raging hormones going on. It is not necessary to allow your birds to breed at all. Please be responsible with this. Here again, you may not know the genetics. You may not know what you're doing. I've also seen a lot of people out there that they just think they're doing just a fine job letting their bird have babies after babies after babies, and all they're feeding it is an all-seed diet. Well, they fly around during the day. It's okay. They get exercise. They're still not getting the same amount of exercise as they would in the wild, and they're not getting proper nutrients. And what that means to you, the bird owner, is that the female, especially, if she just keeps producing eggs and keeps producing eggs and keeps producing eggs, the calcium for those shells has to come from somewhere, and it comes out of their bones. They actually get very calcium deficient, and that can kill them. It can also burn them out and exhaust them to death. So, please, I beg of you out there, it's kind of cute to see the whole circle of life go on, but if you really don't have experience in this and you don't understand genetics and you're just doing it because you think you have to, please reconsider. You do not have to do this to have happy birds. They're going to be just fine without that whole parenthood experience. Leave the breeding to the breeders that know what they're doing. And then when you start getting into bigger birds of different species and the more complicated the bird, the more complicated the breeding can go and hand caring for them and all sorts of stuff. So just leave it to the professionals and be very happy with your pets. They're wonderful and they're wonderful companions, but they don't need to go through these hormone roller coasters. A couple things that you can do to help eliminate these hormonal roller coasters that they get on is to rearrange their cages. So swap out toys, change out the perches, put different perches in, change where they're at, move the food dishes around, all sorts of stuff like that, so the environment changes every couple of weeks. And what that does is it makes them feel like, well, this isn't a real stable environment. Everything keeps changing. This is not a good time or a good place to have babies. It's too unpredictable. Now, it won't stress them out, and it's not going to hurt them. It will actually help keep their hormones at a lower level and not so charged. In the case of my budgies, I've got these split cages with a divider and they're stacked on top. So I've got a kind of a fourplex. So every now and then I'll switch out which cage the birds are in. I'll just change the cages that they even reside in. That'll kind of throw them off. You can rearrange the furniture in the room that they spend most time in and change things just in the room, generally speaking. And I don't really have any experience with this, but I do know that you can go online and buy fake eggs. And that's going to help prevent them from just having clutch after clutch after clutch and continuing to reproduce. They have a little bit of an automatic recognition in their mind that once they hit a certain number of eggs, that they should stop producing eggs. So I think with budgies, it's around six to seven. I think also with cockatiels. And here again, just allowing them to continually produce eggs is going to burn out the females or create that chance. And you just don't want to do that. You don't want to hurt your birds by letting them exhaust their bodies. They don't know any different. And if you put these fake eggs in there, it gives them a little bit of a chance to nurture those eggs. Nothing's going to happen. Their bodies will shut down that whole mission to reproduce. They'll stop producing eggs. And then when those eggs don't hatch, they'll just kind of go back into a different state where their hormones aren't nearly as charged. And so then they don't really reproduce. And then here again, don't house the males and females together. Give them each their own separate space. You can put the cages kind of close to each other where they can see each other, and then they'll be happy. But cage aggression with females, and this happens with different species, can be a very real thing. You can put your birds in danger if you've got a female that's just really overly charged on her space and very, very territorial. So if you want to prevent injuries, it's also a great thing to do. Just give them their own space and it will reduce their need to reproduce also. And then be aware that female birds can lay eggs even without a partner or without a mate. So sometimes you will get some eggs out of a female. But the reason I really don't like having females, I have two female birds, and I'm always concerned about egg laying, because one thing is if their diet is not proper and well balanced, they could have egg binding, and that's where their body is unable to push that egg out of them, and it will kill them. If you don't know the proper way to address the problem and know how to identify it in the moment, you could lose your bird, and it's just an unnecessary thing. So there's a lot of reasons to make sure that your bird remains a pet and not a parent, and it's a good thing. Now, if you're someone out there that's made some of these mistakes, don't shoot the messenger. I'm not cutting anyone down. Everyone does things different and everyone has different views. But really, with the amount of birds that are in the shelters and get shifted around on places like Craigslist, and there are tons and tons and tons of them in pet stores and everywhere, I really want to encourage people to just, if you're going to have a bird as a pet, think it through, do a little planning before you get your pet, and make sure that you're being responsible about it. Have a great relationship with your bird and let it live its best life possible, but please keep the reproduction to the people that know what they're doing and have been doing it professionally and responsibly. It's just not necessary. I've had Zoltan for 2 years now, as well as Aggie is coming up on 2 years. I've never had any problems with this, and with the budgies, I just use the whole rearranging their cage, keeping them guessing on their surroundings that way. I keep their cages covered for 12 hours a day, and then they get 12 hours of light, and that prevents it. But I'm telling you what, my two little hens are so territorial and so nasty when it comes to their cages that I just wouldn't even risk putting a male in the same cage with them. They are brutal. But if you do have a large enough cage that you have more than one budgie and you've got one female in the mix, make sure that you've got at least one water supply and one food supply or food dish, water dish, for each bird that's in there. Because another thing that the females will do in particular with budgies, and I don't know about other species, but they will guard the water and food dish and they will not let the other one eat or drink. So they can actually kill the other bird in there by malnutrition and starving them to death or dehydrating them. And that's just a natural instinct that they go through. I saw something online today where there was some birds up for adoption, and the person adopting them out said, these birds have to be housed separately. They get along fabulously, but they need separate cages. And of course, people in the comments were like, well, I want to adopt them, but I'm going to keep them in the same cage. And they had to reiterate, no, they're not going to do well in the same cage. They get very cage aggressive. Be aware of that. It's not what we think as humans or think the perfect scenario would be, or it's easier for us to only have one cage because then we don't have the expense of two cages or whatever our thinking is. It's not about us. It's about what's best for the birds, and it's about what's keeping them at peace with each other so they're not stressed out, they're not hurting each other, and they're not amped up in the wrong ways all the time. It's a very real struggle when it comes to keeping birds. So enjoy your birds, have a lot of fun with them, but please keep doing ongoing self-education and learn all you can about these creatures, because you can get yourself into some very heartbreaking situations and problems, and it's best to just avoid it before it ever has a chance to happen. It's not that hard to do. And all it does is just take a little bit of forward thinking on your end to have a well-adjusted, balanced pet that isn't stressed out for the wrong reasons. And like I've always said, Facebook can be a really great place to be. It can be a good place to ask questions, but be very careful because sometimes the people answering the questions are answering by opinion only. And just because you had one experience that doesn't follow the norm doesn't mean that's going to apply, generally speaking. Sometimes you just luck out and you just don't have any problems and you're doing it wrong, but it works out for the best for some reason. All bets are off when you have a wild bird or a wild animal that's been raised in captivity. It alters their behavior, but they still have a lot of wild instincts. So here again, please do all your research, please do your homework, and find a really good mentor out there that is very knowledgeable that you can ask questions of when things come to that. I am so thankful that I'm able to send email questions to Chris on occasion or sit and chat with them when I go visit, because they are just a wealth of knowledge and they have helped me with this little cockatiel to a crazy degree. I'm so thankful that they've been that open and helpful for me. Murray has been doing stuff where I try to keep him following the rules, but he is hitting his maturity levels. He is right at a year old, and he's starting to go through some behaviors that are very indicative of hormones. Plus, it's that time of year. And in my kitchen, I have to watch my kitchen counters, because even if I have like a can of food sitting there that he can get behind the food, he will trigger out on that because his little mind is considering that like a nest area or an enclosed area that's small. So if there's a wall there, and maybe 6 inches and a can of food, he will actually consider the space between the can of food and the wall as a nesting area. He's also been getting very enamored with himself in the window reflection. So I don't let him in the kitchen after dark because that's when he can see his reflection in the window. He thinks the reflection is a mate. So that's when he goes and looks for, I call him a fort. He goes and looks for a fort that he can hang out in on the kitchen counter. Goodness, one day I got home from the grocery store. I put some different containers out on the kitchen counter. I had some different products I'd bought, and I had something else I'd brought home that day, and I set that down with him. And there was a big space behind it, and I didn't think about it. And he goes behind there, and then he just starts screaming bloody murder. He's all charged up. He's frustrated. He doesn't know what to do. I go running into the kitchen, and he jumps out from behind the fort, and he starts defending the fort, because to him, it's a nest. So I have to get creative on luring him out so that he's not all nasty with me. I don't fight him. I don't try to antagonize the situation. I just try to work with his mentality to get him away from it so that I can disassemble whatever it is he's perceiving as such. And sometimes it's just not going to be what you would traditionally think a nest box would be. It can be whatever works for their head for that situation. And for him, being right at a year old, his hormones are raging. So I have to be creative quite often. And what I've been doing is during the day, I encourage him to come down into the basement with me when I'm cleaning or reorganizing or doing any kind of tasks that I need to do. And getting him out of his normal environment helps, as well as just giving him something else to think about and watch. That helps a lot too. So they get into some ruts and some grooves that way, and that can trigger them, I think. But it just depends on your bird and how old it is. Once they hit maturity, those hormones can rage at any time. So just be careful out there, people. Do what's right for your bird. And with that said, go play with your birds. Go enjoy them. Have a great evening. I think I'm just going to get this edited and published so you can all listen to it. And I hope you're having a great week. Like I said, next week I am going to be talking about some really great diet resources for you that are very affordable. So I have some bird nutrition books that you can get on Amazon, and I will be doing kind of a review on those and what they are and who wrote them. And that will give you some resources to do some of your own homework and experimenting with foods and see what works and doesn't work for your birds. Yay! It's a good thing, and it's a lot of fun. What I've been doing with my birds is trying to use whatever I feed them to feed myself so that I am working on my own health and my own nutrition at the same time. I live alone, so it's easy to get lazy and eat the wrong things. It's not good for you. Oh my goodness. Don't want that. We want to keep everyone living so that you outlive your birds and they don't outlive you. It's a very important thing. I know it's not fun to talk about, but it's very real. All right, that's all I got for you this week, folks. Have a great one, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.